Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And the world needs now is for you and I to use our gifts to build up the kingdom of God. Every one of us are called. Every one of us are gifted. And God doesn't call us and gift us for any other reason but that we should go forth. So he calls us together, we're baptized, and by virtue of our baptism and confirmation, we are called and gifted, and then we're sent. He just doesn't call us. He sends us out into the world to build up the kingdom of God. And at this particular time, I'd like to introduce you to a young man, and his name is David Pierre Jr., and he is using his gifts to build up the kingdom of God. He's actually an expert, and I think at this particular time in our own archdiocese in particular, this is very timely. As we know, we've had the scandal here, and the abuse scandal with the priest, and of course, I know Archbishop Chaput still has decisions to make about those remaining 21. But I think this is timely because it also affords us a different perspective. It affords us the other side of the story. And with us today is a wonderful young man, David Pierre. He is one of the country's leading observers of the media coverage of the Catholic Church abuse narrative. So many reviewers have praised this book. I thought you might want to hear from David himself, so I invited him on the program today. He has previously written Double Standard, Abuse Scandals and the Attack on the Catholic Church. And again, I think it's essential reading for this time. Not only, you know, we certainly get all the information about what's going on with the scandal, but not often do we get the other side of it. As you know, when that story first broke again last year of those that were already under the grand jury and they opened it up again, I did a whole program on that, and I tried to give both sides, and we got a lot of email, a lot of notes and letters saying that the people appreciated to get another view of what was going on, not just the main media that was covering it. Now, again, I want to just set the record straight. We have to demand justice, not ask for it, but demand justice for any child that was ever abused. Any child, any victim whatsoever that suffered under the hands of clergy abuse, this is absolutely a must. Seek first to take care of all the victims, always. But this also offers another side, and with that, I'm going to bring David on. And Dave, are you with us now?
I sure am, Kathleen. Thank you very much for having me, and I appreciate what you said. You know, this is a very delicate topic. Catholics, non-Catholics, we've all been horrified by these horrible stories of just terrible abuse and betrayal. And like you said, we must demand justice and compassion for victims of clergy abuse.
Right.
And but, you know, what I'm simply trying to do here, Kathleen, is try to provide a side of the narrative that I don't think has been told.
Exactly.
And you know, I think there's a lot to explore there, and I hope we can do that.
Well, one of the things, first off, I'm sure I can almost feel what you're going to say, but apparently you are aware of abuse on the other side of this as well. And you have documented cases and so forth and so on in this new book. And again, it's called Catholic Priests Falsely Accused, The Facts, The Fraud, The Stories by David F. Peer Jr. And I want to ask you first and foremost, I mean, we know this abuse with all the news coverage these past 10 years, 9 years in particular here, and all this abuse, all the coverage we've had saturated time and time again, all the media outlets, and yet we very seldom, when a priest is found innocent, or, you know, he, let's say he's not, there was not enough evidence ever to try, even try the person.
Sure.
You don't get a front page statement saying this priest was exonerated.
Sure.
And their lives are ruined.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I profile a case in my book where there actually was a priest who was tried and exonerated, found innocent, I should say, in just a matter of minutes by a jury. And the attorney said, you know, after the verdict, you know, when he was arrested and brought to trial, there was this huge firestorm of media coverage. Yet when he was exonerated and found innocent, the coverage was just minimal.
Mm.
And this is, you know, once again, a side of the narrative that we're just not being told about, Kathleen.
Right, right. And so you stepped up to try to give that perspective, so that, because, you know, I know personally, priest's life is ruined by this, and rightly so if he's guilty. However, to have a life ruined of a faithful, holy priest. And I can tell you, in my 68 years, I raised 12 children. I've had priests that have been living around my house all those years. I don't know of one instance. I know these men are holy, holy priests. And All of us fall short of the glory of God. And I just yesterday talked about, David, maybe you can comment on this. I talked about the fact that not only is it minimal coverage on the air, but these people that were innocently are thrown in oftentimes with all the pedophiles, even if they have one sheet of paper in their file that is strictly maybe somebody accused somebody of grooming, and then they found they were not guilty. Next thing you know, you never hear another thing about the priest again. In the meantime, his mother, his family, his own dignity as a priest has been judged already in the minds of the people because of even in inaccurate media coverage. What do you say about that?
Well, you know, Kathleen, we live in the day of the Internet now, and we live in this age of Google and Internet, and, you know, I was profiling an innocent priest from just a few weeks ago, and he has a very legitimate gripe. You know, his accusation was totally unfounded, yet if you Google his name, there he is up on the first page of Google under his name is that he is an accused priest. And you know, what can an innocent man do about that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's this is what these men are up against. And like you say, the stories of innocence don't often get told. And what is often, I think, forgotten, Kathleen, is that these men, these priests, you know, they're brothers, they're sons of parents. They have, you know, nephews and nieces. They, you know, they have family members who go through this terrible ordeal of this accusation. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, a priest, you know, is accused, and you touched on this as well, I touch on in my book, in one of the chapters on my book, where a priest up here in the Boston area was falsely accused, and, you know, it took him 4 years, Kathleen, to be exonerated. And meanwhile, you know, his mother was getting older and so forth, and, you know, it was just very sad. I mean, his mother passed away, you know, before she could see that he was cleared, and, you know, I spoke with a friend of the family who said, you know what, this poor mother died much sooner than she would have because of, you know, seeing her son go through this. And, you know, we don't need to talk about all this media firestorm that's
right.
going on. It's
right.
been, it's been really quite enormous. And it's, listen, we don't want to mitigate any harm in any way.
Absolutely.
But, you know, on the other hand, It's been really, really relentless.
You know, I don't know how true this is, but, you know, you are called the expert as far as media coverage goes in regards to particularly to the abuse narratives and with the Catholic Church. And as so, I have to ask you a question. I had heard at one time, and I don't know how true it is, but from a very, very reliable source, let me just say, and it was somebody that was in law enforcement. It wasn't someone that was in the hierarchy or a priest or anything like that. Yeah. And they told me that actually, I'm almost sure they told me that just about half of the accusations of accusing priests, once totally investigated and investigated really right, you know, your I's are dotted, your T's are crossed, nothing slipping out under the rug for because the church doesn't want to move somebody or speak about it.
Yeah.
You know, no hiding. I heard there are just about 50% of them are falsely accused. Is that
sure.
accurate?
Well, listen, I had a very similar, I came across some court documents a little over a year ago, Kathleen, out of Los Angeles, where a defense attorney who he, you know, has hired investigators and you know, to go through these allegations. Mm-hmm. This is a former FBI investigator who is he basically cited in a court document as saying that about one half of the accusations were either, quote, entirely false or greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so we have, you know, this anecdotal evidence to go on. But, you know, Kathleen, what a lot of people don't know is, you know, just last August, up here in the Archdiocese of Boston, the Archdiocese of Boston released the names of every priest who had been accused of abuse in their archdiocese going back decades.
Mm-hmm.
Publicly accused, everybody. Okay,
yeah.
Guilty, innocent, and everybody.
Same now, here, same in this archdiocese.
Sure, sure. And without going through all the numbers, but if you look at the cases where a determination was made, okay, a determination was made, that is, the priest was found guilty, he was laicized or removed from ministry, or the case was investigated and it was found unsubstantiated or false,
mm-hmm.
if we look at those numbers, Kathleen, we see that about one out of three priests in the Archdiocese of Boston was falsely accused.
Hmm.
And to me, that, Kathleen, is a legitimate news story because you're actually looking at, you know, data right in front of you.
Exactly.
Yet this was not covered at all by the Boston media when these names come out. Instead, we heard, you know, the normal, quite frankly, the normal church bashing about, well, you know, the list wasn't right or some, you know, some beef or something, you know, but it was a legitimate news story that's not being covered.
Hmm. And also, everything that I've read, everything that I got my hands on shortly after our problems in our own Archdiocese of Philadelphia, I began to research it too, and I did a very a couple extensive programs on this, and I don't think that a lot of people are aware of that this insidious, horrible crime against children, innocent victims, and it is horrific.
Yeah.
And as our Holy Father Benedict the 16th said, he used the word disgusting. It's disgusting if any one of our priests would be guilty of this. And of course, we know that there have been.
Yep.
However, those that are innocent live. They live every day with those accusations. And people look. And even though they're cleared, they still look and they doubt. That doubt is seated in their minds. And nothing can wash that away. Nothing can, you know, take those terrible accusations away. But in fact, when I was researching it, I actually found that it wasn't the Catholic Church, but that it was pervasive in our society, this pedophile children molestation, that it was in schools, it was in different denominations, it was in day schools. I mean, it was in so many. But you don't read that. You don't see that in the news. What have you found that? Have you found that to be?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And once again, Kathleen, this is a case where we have actual data to support what's going on. There was a study done back in 2004 by the United States Department of Education that specifically looked into the sexual abuse of students in public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And that report uncovered a study that estimated that 9.6%, Kathleen, that's nearly 10% of students, are the subject of some kind of sexual abuse or harassment from a teacher sometime during their school career. Nearly 10%, Kathleen.
Right.
And that's just alarming. And again, we had another interesting story. Again, this was in Newsweek magazine just last year, and it's just, once again, one of these stories that didn't quite get the attention that it deserved. You know, the question in the article is, well, are Catholic priests, you know, abusing more than those of other denominations? Well, a good place to go to on that is the insurance industry, because, you know, what many people may know is that, you know, all churches and all organizations have, you know, liability coverage,
right,
and so forth and this and that. And the insurance company's own figures, Kathleen, show that this has not been a problem that has been more of the Catholic Church than anybody else.
Mm.
They don't charge the Catholic Church higher premiums or anything like that because there's nothing to support that at all.
Wow, that's it. Very interesting.
Yeah.
We'll be taking a break, Dave, in about 10 minutes.
Sure.
Would you be willing to take some calls?
I'd be happy to.
Okay. Yeah. Let me. I just want to give out our numbers right now because we don't often get to hear the other perspective on this, and
sure.
I want to, you know. I my heart is with the victims. I'm a mother.
Yeah. I'm a dad.
Okay. And yet my heart is also with all the priests that are good. I love the priesthood. I love the priesthood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I always say, matter of fact, in my own program, better the sun would never come up than we wouldn't have a priest, because it's only the priest in his sacred hands and through his ordination that can bring Jesus present to us.
Yeah. Yes.
Physically, mind, body, soul, and divinity. So I absolutely want to give a voice to the other side of this.
Sure.
As I said,
if I could just say one
please.
Thing, Kathleen, if you don't mind. You know, people at first, when they hear me, they think, oh, you know, this is some conspiracy guy that thinks, you know, all these accusations are bogus and this and that. No, that's, in fact, I want to be very clear, that's not what I'm saying. Again, we must demand justice,
right,
compassion for the victims of clergy abuse.
Right.
But I believe there is another side of this entire narrative that is not being told. And quite frankly, if I felt it was being told in the media, I'd have a lot more free time on my hands. But it's just, I felt it really needs to be told. And again, I just want to stress that.
Well, I give you kudos for that, because it's not easy to take an unpopular subject matter and take an unpopular stand on top of it.
Sure.
And stand for the truth. You're going to receive, you know, yeah. a lot of darts. But
I've got a few of those.
Okay, let me give out our phone numbers locally. If you'd like to call, again, we have with us today an author. His name is Dave Pierre J. Jr. He is one of the country's leading observers of the media coverage of the Catholic Church abuse narrative. So maybe you have a question you'd like to ask David. His book is full of documentation. I would recommend that you call in today, and if you have a question and you've never really thought too much about the other side of this, then give a call locally, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or you can call toll-free anywhere else in the United States. This is going out globally through the internet, so feel free to call in toll-free 1-888-343-2484. Once again, toll-free anywhere else in the United States, 1-888-343-2484. And David, I guess your book, they can get it at any of the bookstores, or do you have a specific online?
Well, I pretty much, I have a website, themediareport.com, and I just like to link over to the Amazon site.
Okay.
Because they seem to do a pretty good job for me.
Right, I agree. Okay, and what is your website again?
My website is called themediareport.com.
Okay.
And what the site I examine the media's coverage of this narrative, and where I see, you know, maybe some misinformation and slanted coverage in what's going on.
Great.
And actually, people can read. I've been following the Philadelphia situation, and I have some stories up there as well that may be of interest to your listeners. So it's themediareport.com.
Okay, and once again, I encourage you to call in. We will take a break in 5 minutes. One of the things I'd like to ask you, Dave, you live up in the Boston area?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. I think I know the person you're speaking of in your book when you talk about it took almost 5 years, actually, for this archbishop to have been exonerated. Let's use that word.
Sure.
And everybody's so quick to blast it across the newspaper, blast it across the radio, across the television, and yet if it was something that, you know, was something to do with their own family, someone close to them, someone that they knew or loved, respected, they'd be the first ones to scream out, "Hey, you know, innocent until proven guilty." And yet the media has certainly demonized the entire church for something that members of their own, the clergy certainly have, there are members that are absolutely guilty and should receive just punishment, and the Holy Father and the bishops, archbishops, they have certainly put into place new ways to begin to deal with these issues, and they have come out, admitted they have handled things wrong in the past, and I think that's what hurt the people more than anything. The wounded body of Christ needs to heal now, but there are things in place now that can work towards picking people out much earlier, before they even enter the priesthood and so forth. But all that being said, for you, as someone that was reading this, looking at the news coverage, what was it, Dave, that you felt God called you to take this work upon yourself?
Boy, well, it really has become somewhat, my calling, I feel, I was kind of doing some things with some websites in the past, covering media bias, mostly political, but as I was starting to watch news coverage, I just started to see just really this imbalanced coverage as far as this whole Catholic abuse story. I would see stories about teachers being arrested for abuse or being arrested for child pornography or all these horrible crimes where it either wasn't reported or it was just kind of in the inside of the paper, Kathleen, under the news brief section, And then meanwhile, the story of a Catholic priest being accused decades ago of something would be on the front page. And I'm saying, well, wait a minute, this seems to be quite an imbalance. And the more you watch, you see the vitriol of some of the coverage, and it's I just feel it's that there needs to be another side of this that needs to be told.
Have you you yourself, do you have priest clergy on a whole that you have seen actually been cleared and yet were totally whether to say it except victimize themselves?
I wrote my first book, Double Standard, Abuse Scandals and the Attack on the Catholic Church, which covered, the media's imbalanced coverage of the narrative. Mm-hmm. As the book was out, Kathleen, I was contacted by a priest up here in the Boston area, and he invited me over, and he shared, he shared his ordeal with me. And, I independently investigated his claims, because quite frankly, anybody can say they're innocent.
Exactly.
And this and that. But indeed, this guy was indeed, he was railroaded. He was falsely accused. And luckily, he was exonerated after a number of years. But then again, to have to be ripped from your parish and ripped from your livelihood for something that you didn't do, and then to have to fight to clear your name, it's just an ordeal I don't think any of us can speak to unless they've gone through it. It's just really something. And, boy, another priest I profiled up here in the Boston area where this gentleman was actually accused twice, and it really, it basically put him on his deathbed. And luckily, this priest had friends and family who hired investigators who looked into the allegations, and the accuser really had no credibility whatsoever. And you're not going to believe this, Kathleen, but after this priest died, the father of the accuser showed up at the priest's funeral to apologize to the family for what his son had done.
Oh my gosh.
Regarding the false accusation.
Yeah.
Basically the father said something along the lines, I wish I could have done something, or something to that effect. But this accusation just devastated him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the few cases. The Boston Globe is just, I don't think I need to tell you how much they hammer the Catholic Church on this. But even they profiled this man's case because it was just so egregious. But his story is just really just one of many.
Hmm.
And, I try to give a portrait of that in the book.
Well, you did it very well. And once again, I'd like to share with you that we have Dave Pierre on the air today. If you have a question that you'd like to ask him, And I'm going to go into the next segment, and we're going to talk a little bit, if it's okay with you.
Sure.
I'd like to talk a little bit about SNAP, which is, of course, Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests, because I don't know that they're more, and I could be 100% wrong, I'm not judging them either. I'm sure they do a lot of good. But I think sometimes they're more set on destroying the church and the beliefs of the church and everything the church stands for.
Sure.
And I don't know what outweighs their action. I really call into credibility their motives. So maybe we could talk about that for my own interest. But to any callers, give us a call. If you have a question you'd like to ask about the scandal, the pre-scandal in general, and give us a call. Once again, 610-527-2906. I have with us today on the air, not in the studio, but on the air, and he's willing to take your questions. Perhaps you have a question you would like to ask David Pierre. Again, David F. Pierre Jr. He is an author, and quite frankly, he is also one of the country's leading observers of the medical media coverage of the Catholic Church abuse narrative and all that's been going on there. His book is both books. I mean, he did a book called Double Standard, and that was a landmark book. It was a great service to the church. And now he writes this new book, and once again, it's called Catholic Priest Falsely Accused, The Facts, The Fraud, The Stories. And you can get it, of course, at Amazon.com. You can go read some of his reports. It's themediareport.com. And on that, he blogs about different media coverage and the reports that he's researched. So once again, give us a call if you have a question you'd like to ask him. Maybe you have a question that that you would like to ask in regards to the Survivors Network, the SNAP, S-N-A-P. And maybe you have a question you'd like to ask about the Catholic Church in regards to this abuse that's been going on and the coverage of it. Give us a call. 610-527-2906, 1-888-343-2484. I'm surprised, quite frankly, with this archdiocese, had suffered that ourselves, aside from the Boston, that maybe I'm surprised that the phones aren't ringing off the hook today. One of the things that I would like to ask you is something I brought up in the last segment. And that is SNAP.
Sure.
Now, this is my own opinion. I'll say this again. This is strictly my own opinion. But I often wonder what they write with such venom almost towards the Catholic Church. And I wonder if that's not, to them, even maybe more of a focal point of trying to wound the church, and in fact maybe the ultimate goal to destroy the credibility of the church.
Well, if you look at SNAP and their actions, Kathleen, those are all legitimate questions. You know, SNAP is the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. It was started back in the late 80s by a woman named Barbara Blaine and another man named David Clossy, who says he was abused by a priest, came on board a few years later. And, you know, what I have always said, Kathleen, is ideally, we would be working together with these victims to help, you know, solve this problem mm-hmm. of abuse and address cases when they come up and so forth. But quite frankly, and this is not just, you know, some wild talking here, but this is from things I've been chronicling for a number of years now, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, the group is just so mean-spirited
yeah.
and dishonest and vitriolic towards the church, working with them is just simply impossible. You know, in my new book, I relate a story that Archbishop Dolan tells. You know, he's now, you know,
cardinal.
In New York.
Going to be a cardinal, yeah.
Going to be a cardinal, that's right. But when he was back in Milwaukee, Kathleen, he You know, he was a leader who thought, well, we need to reach out to these people and work with them. Well, one day he showed up at a church in Milwaukee for an event, and it became contentious, and therefore, and a member from spat on him. That's
I remember
correct,
that.
You know?
Yep.
And, you know, he's quoted as saying, that's when I knew I should have listened to those people, that working with them would not be helpful. And unfortunately, this is just, it's just very unfortunate because, you know, they continue to just hammer away at the church and you know, paint the church as operating the same way it did 50 years ago, which I think is a terrible, terrible, not only unfair, but false characterization of how the church is handling abuse cases. I mean, an excellent argument can be made that the church here in 2012 is the model of how to, you know, investigate a child abuse cases. I mean, what other organization, Kathleen, has these abuse panels and review panels and these screening policies and the trainings and so forth?
Right.
I challenge anybody to, you know, answer that. And, you know, but getting back to SNAP, it's just, the venom is just awful. And, you know, once again, you know, in my book, you know, I investigated SNAP, I looked at their tax records, and quite frankly, the numbers show that, you know, even though on their tax forms it says their primary purpose is to provide support to victims, if you look at their numbers, monetarily, they're doing very, very little in as far as concrete support for victims, if at all, if you look at their tax forms. So, you know, once again, you look further, you see a bunch of the money comes from some of these contingency lawyers who have profited from these cases over the years.
Oh, Hamilton's one of them. Can't think of her first
Hamilton
name.
Yeah, Marcy Hamilton is, she's up at the Cardozo School of Law at the University of New York City, and she does a lot of work with SNAP. Her big campaign is to try to lift statute of limitations, you know, in states, so people can, you know, sue the church for abuse no matter how long ago it occurred.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the big problem is it seems her her focus is almost entirely focused on the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And when she has these conferences to talk about these lifting of the statutes of limitations, you know, she's sitting next to members of SNAP. And as I show in a recent post I did, that she sits with members from the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office, too, which
yes.
is quite disturbing, I believe,
yeah.
Considering what's going on there now. So it's a lot. It's a lot. And I think it's not any wild conspiracy to say that, you know, the church is certainly under attack from this organization. And they are, of course, very well-liked in the media.
Of course, of course. Yeah. And again, you know, feel free, take a look at this book. It's well-documented. It's written well. It's very easy to follow along. Please give us a call if you have a question that you'd like to ask David. We have him on the line now. I hear people ask me, everywhere I go, they ask me, being Catholic Radio, they'll always bring up about people, what do you say to your kids who are distraught about area, you know, the church? So, oh, I'm not going to support the church, this, and that. And, you know, I have my answers, and I always say, like, would you stop going to the doctors because one doctor had a malpractice suit or 1,000 of them against him?
Sure.
He was a poor doctor. He was not upholding the oath, do no harm. And same with a priest. If a priest or religious or anybody in any school, organization, healthcare facility, whatever it is, if there are people there that are hurting children, then by all means, the fullest extent of the law should come after them. I agree 100%. But again, they say statistically, everything that I've read, and it might be changed now, but I read that a little under 2% of all the clergy in the Catholic Church, that not quite, not even 2% are cases of these priests who have abused children.
Yeah.
It's amazing that it receives.
If people, Kathleen, knew about the statistics of child sex abuse in public schools, people would never want to send their children there ever again. It would absolutely frighten them, and it would look like, you know, the Catholic Church would be the safest place to be, quite frankly. And again, as I pointed my first book, you know, you talk about the numbers, you know, of the priests accused. You know, you're looking at basically going back to 1950, Kathleen.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about 149 priests. And again, that's in over a half century, accounting for over a quarter of all incidents of abuse, for 26% of all incidents of abuse. Now, 149 priests, that's one tenth of 1%
right,
of all priests who served in the U.S. from 1950 to 2002, which is what this study covered.
Right.
So these 149 priests accounting for over a quarter of all the abuse that was recorded. So you had this number of serial abusers that did tremendous harm to victims and tremendous harm to the church. But you know, it's little things like this that I think need to be recorded.
Absolutely, and you know, like that's what I was saying. Worldwide, I think it's less than 2%.
Sure.
So when you think of that, but you don't hear about all the others. You just hear about the Catholic Church and the narrative about that, what's taking place there. So I just wanted to give another perspective for people to begin to think about. I mean, when men and women marry, they marry and they intend to, you know, honor their vows all the days of their life.
Yeah.
And some of them cheat on their wives, cheat on their husbands. That doesn't mean to do away with marriage. That means these people fell from grace.
Yeah.
And it's the same with these priests.
Yeah.
It's not the teachings of the church. We have a caller. I'm going to put it on right now. Hold on. Hello, Anonymous. How are you?
Great. I would just ask all those that are listening to your program today that they pray Hail Mary for our priests, for their protection. They've done so much. They're men of great. They give up so much, and they really help their people. So also just remember to give up our communion and the masses in honor of our priests and religious. And if possible, you know, have a few masses said for them. And that's all I wanted to say. And I'm just so thankful for the priests that have been in my life and have influenced me as well as you.
Well, praise God.
Yeah,
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
From the Lord. Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
Yes, bye-bye.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, as you'll see, Kathleen, in the last chapter of my book, my last recommendation is that people pray for priests. And I have a little prayer that I found that I put at the end of the book to pray for our priests. And that's very important. Your caller says something very important.
Yeah.
We have to pray for our priests. And one thing, you know, you've been asking me about all the work I've been doing. Well, one real enrichment that, you know, I've come to is that, you know, every night I pray for our priests. Every night. All the priests I can think of. And we have to keep these men in our prayers because, quite frankly, listen, they're under attack. They do tremendous, tremendous work. They're good men, and we must keep them in our prayers. Because indeed, they are under attack.
They are indeed. You know, if one of us say something false, even a Catholic radio broadcaster, I might take the people in my listening audience and lead them astray. If a priest does something wrong, of course, he takes a whole parish with him.
Sure.
And the saddest thing is that the whole parish is suffering, wounded, scarred, as well as the victims, the parish are victims, as well as these innocent priests They're victims. They're innocent priests. And I have a friend with me here, my best friend. She's on sitting here with me in the studio today. I have 12 children. You said, see what I say about all the wonderful priests in all my life that I've met. Mm-hmm. You heard our call. Or I have my friend Pat Lochran here. She's one of 10 children. And you have priests that were always over your home.
They lived at our house.
And what do you?
And to this day, I'm friends with them.
Right.
We all say that.
So my heart aches for the victims, first and foremost. But my heart also aches for all those who are innocently accused. I'm wounded and hurt as much as maybe some of you have. Somebody has said something that was untruthful about you. Mm-hmm. You know, they gossiped or they made an accusation. And you absolutely know there's no truth to that. But you can be so easily scandalized by it because of gossip. A lot of that's taken place in the news media coverage. We're going to close with a prayer, Dave. And what I would like you to do, I don't know where your prayer is, but I was going to ask you, why don't you close with a prayer for priest?
Sure. This is from my book. Dear Lord, I pray for your faithful and fervent priests, the priests who are falling away from the host, the true and living God, the priests who labor at home and in distant mission fields, the tempted and disobedient priests, the lonely and desolate priests, the young and old priests, the sick and dying priests, and the souls of your priests in purgatory, but especially for the priests who are dearest to me, the priests who baptize me, the priests who have absolved me of my sins, the priests at whose mass I have assisted and have given me your body and blood in Holy Communion, the priests who have taught and instructed me and to whom I am indebted in any way. Please keep them close to your heart, for they are in your heart, and bless them abundantly in time and in eternity. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful prayer. And again, just want to say you can go to Amazon.com, David F. Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, again, P-I-E-R-R-E, Jr. And order the book. You can have some material to be well-informed and well-armed with when those questions come to you.
True.
About what's going on in the church and the media's coverage of that. Dave, you've been a great guest. I appreciate you, and keep up the good work. May God continue to bless and anoint your word with truth and the power of the truth that can set people free.
And, thank you very much, Kathleen. Thank you very much for those nice words, and thank you, and God bless you in your ministry and all the wonderful work you're doing with In His Sign. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless now, Dave. Bye now. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're coming to the end of a program. We got about 5 minutes left, 4 minutes left, I guess. And I just want to say once again, I think we have to also tell the other side when there's so, you know, less than 2% worldwide of the priesthood that has committed these, and I will use the word horrific, crimes against children. But also there's so many wonderful, holy priest out there that are suffering along with them. I have a friend of mine, and he's done retreats with me, and he shared a story which was heartbreaking. When I heard it, I started to cry, and I don't cry easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was right when all the cases opened up again, the second mm-hmm. grand jury investigation. And he was a teacher, and he was coming from school, and he stopped in a Wawa to get a drink, a cold drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to go back, you know, for his class, the end of school tutoring, whatever he was going to do. And the woman at the counter looked over and said, hey, Father, stay away from my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he wanted to fall through. He was hoping the ground would open up and mm-hmm. he would fall through it. this priest is a holy, holy priest. And I can imagine the wounded heart that he carried mm-hmm. to be able to share that at a retreat. We need to really pray for our priest. Here's a priest. You know, there are people, the way they're being attacked in the media, not just those priests that fell from grace, those priests that, as the Holy Father said, it is disgusting is the word he used. However, all the wonderful priests are scandalized too by association. And that's why we really have to lift our priest up.
And Dave become informed.
Yeah, exactly.
I think every Catholic home should have this book.
Exactly right. And I think it gives you material. I have so many people come up to me, and they say to me, Kathleen, what do you say about this? Mm-hmm. And I share, but I'm one voice. Here's somebody that is considered, quite frankly, one of the most outstanding leading men in the country who mm-hmm. deal with this. I think it would be good to get a copy of this book, have it on hand, be prepared when people ask you questions.
Knowledge and very important.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, the scriptures say people that have lack of knowledge die.
That's right.
And so my people perish for lack of knowledge is the scripture. So my brothers and sisters, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's many of the people who have walked away from the church because they have lack of mm-hmm. knowledge. So let's be well informed. I hope I didn't get any calls. I hope it was because you were really listening and didn't get up to make the call, except for the one anonymous call who stood firm in her belief in the priesthood and the Catholic Church. Let's pray for our priest. Pray that again, that God will raise up holy, faithful priests and all these new seminarians that are going.
And support your priests now.
And go up and tell them for all the ways that they're suffering in their own way. Go up and tell them, you know, Father, I praise and thank God for your priesthood. Don't be afraid of it. They are in need to hear your confirmation about how they are called to lead us to Christ. We're also called to bring Christ out of the priesthood. So my brothers and sisters, make a difference with a priest today. Make a difference. Take a priest that you know and love and respect and pray for him. Take him to communion every day. Offer up little sacrifices that we all have to die to ourselves, to live for Christ. These are things to overcome ourselves. Offer them up for the priesthood. So we're going to close with prayer. Father God, I just ask today that you, Lord, who are the priest, Melchizedek, you, Lord, have raised up the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. You are the priest forever. And I pray, Lord God, that all that you have called to be priest, I ask, Lord God, that you would bless your sons, the sons of Holy Mother Church. I pray that you would keep their minds and their hearts and their spirit free from all evil. I ask that you bless their consecrated hands, that they can bring Jesus to us, mind, body, soul, and divinity. I pray, Lord God, that you would place a mantle around every priest, a mantle of your Holy Mother, Mother of the priest, Mother of the Church. And I pray that through her intercession, through Holy Mother, especially through Rosa Mystica, through Our Lady of Fatima, that she would intercede before the throne of God to the Sacred Heart of her Son. And then we will do what she said before. Do whatever he tells you. He is telling us to pray for the priest. May God bless you. And if you're away from the church because of this scandal, come on home. We are not complete without you. God bless you. And remember, he loves you, and he is in you, working through you for his good pleasure. God bless.